for public broadcasting.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. Midpoint on Wednesdays with your host, Nola. Back and better than ever. I am so glad to be here on a Wednesday afternoon, and I'm hoping you're excited for this broadcast. A big thank you to Radioactivity for bringing us in the right way. Great show, as always, by Rob Lowry. And today, we have a whole bunch of things to talk about. So, obviously, we have the phone lines. We encourage you to join the conversation. Phone number is 813-239-9663. You can send me a text during the broadcast at 813-433-0885. Or you send me an email at dj@wmnf.org. Today, we have a whole bunch of things to talk about. I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. I have some things to take care of, but I'm happy to be back. But it seems like I haven't been here like 2 weeks, because it seems like every time we turn our heads, we have to deal with something of some sort. So, first things first. Currently, right now, today, the Florida House will vote on a bill that some say does just that, about the gun legislation and everything else that's happening in Florida right now. The Florida House Senate voted in a narrow vote of 20 to 18 to approve gun restrictions and arming school officials in schools. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we started the conversation. We started talking about the ongoing momentum, talking about arming teachers in schools. And we thought that was just something that was just on the fringe. But it just seems like in this present day, so 2018, especially in the Trump administration, for us to start talking about some things about like arming school teachers in schools. Now, I have so many reasons why I think it's just insane, but this is mainstream. It's the crazy things have come to mainstream. And if you have any thoughts about that, I want to know what your thoughts about that. And right now it's going on. So I'll be looking closely about at the votes currently going on, debates going on right now in the Florida Congress right here in Tallahassee. Yes, in the state of Florida, that's actually happening. But so one of the things that we fail to talk about is while we're talking about this gun legislation and this arming of school teachers and school officials in schools, we fail to actually ask the school teachers what they think about this this proposition at all. So joining me right now is a friend of the show, actually a contributor of the show right now. I have Nick Sitcher. Nick Sitcher, who's actually currently like a teacher in Polk County. Nick, good afternoon, Nick. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Nova.
It's been a minute. I haven't talked to you in a minute. I want you to talk about what your thoughts are about the current legislation going on right now in Tallahassee. We believe it has actually passed the Florida Senate on Monday, and currently they're debating right now. So what are your thoughts about that? Give me your overview about that, and what is the mood right there for teachers, especially in Polk County?
As a group, one word, disappointed. It's really a Band-Aid. I think what they try to do is go on a cheap, NOLA. The issue is this. We need more resource officer. So a resource officer costs about $50,000, and yet you want to basically arm a teacher and give him a $500 stipend and expect that to solve the problem. I've discussed this very topic with many of my colleagues, and the reality of it is many oppose it for a variety of reasons because it doesn't solve the problem. It may exacerbate a problem.
Interesting. Give me some of the things, some of the concerns that a lot of the teachers are actually concerned about.
Absolutely. Here's the thing. On any given day, teachers are going to be in a confrontation with students. You put a firearm as part of in the scene. I don't see how that mitigates the problem. Now, can you imagine a teacher, again, they're educators, they're trying to educate. They're trying to mitigate problems. And all of a sudden, a fight breaks out between two kids, not necessarily between a teacher and a student, but between two students, and the teacher is armed. The teacher is going to have to concern himself. He's armed, or it just opens up the door for violence or potential accidents. And you go that route, man, I don't know if you can close that door. That's number one. Number two, is the question of who are you going to arm? Now, people say, listen, I'm a veteran. There's a lot of people who are veterans that teach. But some of them, unfortunately, may have some issues such as PTSD. The fact that they're a veteran doesn't necessarily mean they're the best qualified. That's another problem you have to factor in. And also, look. The reality of it is, especially in the city, you're going to have some combative students, and you're just adding potential fuel to the fire. And when you involve a firearm, listen, when a student challenges a teacher, that's a problem in itself. When the teacher is armed, you just made the matters worse. I don't see how it can end, easily. And I don't think they really thought about this. Yeah. I understand this is in anticipation of a school, of somebody coming into this classroom, shooting up the place. That's one in what? What are the odds of that happening? Small to none. But what are the odds of happening, a teacher having a conversation with a student? That's more problematic. And now you're saying certain teachers may be armed. I think it's just a bad idea, Noah.
Being the fact that, for people looking on the outside, because a lot of times, I just can't imagine, because when I actually first started talking about this, when I talked about this on the radio about 2 weeks ago, and I talked about the momentum in which the momentum was gaining, I thought, whoa, this might be a little farce. There's no way in the world that this might be a mainstream debate topic for us to actually start having this conversation. But right now, we know fully well right now in Tallahassee, in Congress, State Congress, that they actually about to vote on it. Maybe it's just about, I'm clearly watching that. It looks like it's going to pass. But the idea and the fact that you are a veteran, and I want to talk to Nick, for instance, what are some of the reasons why you went into teaching in itself? Because I think a lot of time that takes away from what people minimize what it is for you, for somebody, for law enforcement, what it takes to be a law enforcement officer to combat a situation as a school shooting. I mean, talk to us a little bit about what are some of the reasons why you went into teaching, and why this legislation actually changes the frame, your mind frame into teaching in itself.
Right. It's interesting you bring that up. I'm in front of my class right now. This is my government class. They're seniors. Yeah. And the one thing, this is going to sound corny to you, but I'll say it right in front of them. One of the things I teach my kids to make a difference in the community, you have to show love. You have to show compassion. That's a reality. Right, I'm saying this right in front of, live in front of my class. I always stress that. Show compassion. The problem is, you know, when you say a teacher can have a gun, what does that signify? It signifies force. It signifies adversarial relationship. I want my students to be feel comfortable, come to me if they have a problem. Not to see him as a threat. Not to see him as a guy with a gun. I mean, isn't that at the end of the day the problem we have with our society, even with our police force? When we see somebody who was armed, people don't come to them with their problems. They see that as something confrontational. You want to minimize confrontational when you're an educator, because what you want is a dialogue between student and teacher. Having that firearm doesn't lend to a viable conversation. Think about it, all right? Because, look, teachers are human beings, number one. So oftentimes when they get confronted, like most human beings are going to react what? With confrontation.
Right.
You add the extra element of a firearm. What does that do to the conversation? Knowing full well, this guy's armed. Right, and go back to my original statement, Nola. Right, a fight breaks out and a teacher has a gun. Right, what are the odds of an accident happening? You see my point?
Absolutely.
Look, as a teacher, I'm a grown man. I can handle myself. I can take care of myself. But you put a firearm as an extra element. I mean, that's a little bit dangerous.
Well, if you just joined us right now, it's the WMNF 88.5 FM Midpoint on Wednesdays with your host, Nola. And I'm on the phone right now. With me is Nick Sitcher. He's actually a teacher in Polk County right now, who's talking about a real reaction to what the current legislation is happening, right? The debate happening in Tallahassee about arming teachers. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns right now, feel free to call in. Phone number is 813-239-9663. Or you send me a text to 813-433-0885. Or send me an email to broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. And you highlighted something about that in the dynamics between the teacher and the student. Because you know what? I have a son in high school, and I had to have this conversation with him. I had this conversation with him a couple of weeks ago. And I was asking, actually about a month ago, I had a conversation with him because I was alarmed at the fact that we had a situation, we still have situations where we have teachers having sexual intercourse with students. And I remember talking to me about what are the dynamics that create a scenario in which it's okay for the teacher to actually be comfortable enough to talk to. I mean, what are those things that happen? And he told me how, like, after school, there are always after school programs in which teachers are available to actually talk to students. And there's always that opportunity to form relationships and stuff. And I wonder what this arming of teachers is actually going to do to the dynamic of the student-teacher relation currently right now. And secondly, when you think about it, I think about it as a bigger plan because, for instance, I think what are the incentives for those teachers that actually are open to these programs, and what does that do to them? What does that give them? What are the extra incentives that they actually get for those who actually sign up for these programs? That's a two-part question.
Well, you know what? There's no easy answer to it. Right? Look, the amount of money they're offering is not enough. And also the time and training. Right? Listen, when you arm an individual, right? When you arm an individual, you're putting an extra layer of risk. Right? And again, you run into the danger of having an adversarial relationship with a student. Right? And again, teachers are human beings, all right? And sometimes when you create an adversarial relationship, look, as a teacher, I want to tone things down, all right? When a student acts belligerent, angry, and bitter, the last thing I want to do is raise the tension. I need to lower the tension, all right? Because my goal is to avoid violence. My goal is to educate students, not to be a policeman, not to put them in a situation where they feel a sense of fear or they're being challenged. All right, here's the problem we have in our schools. All right, first of all, we have enough problems with young boys who don't know how to act. All right, and there's a lot of reasons why that is. All right, when you put a gun in a teacher's hand, what is the underlying message? I'm armed, you're not. There's a disparity of power. All right, there's already this to some teachers and students. There's a level of distrust. You're kind of elevating that trust. All right. But at the end of the day, what is the legislature really trying to do? NOLA, let's look at the root of the problem. They're going cheap, NOLA. They're going cheap. Instead of spending money for an extra resource officer or a school psychologist, they want to give a gun to a teacher and give them $500. Isn't that really what this is all about? They want a Band-Aid for something that's much bigger problem.
I think some people will look at that and say, like, it's actually deeper than just being cheap. And the fact that, you know, a lot of people, the critics will say a lot of people are actually indebted to the NRA, and the fact that more guns means more business. And the fact that, you know, if you supply more guns, if you actually certify that teachers are allowed to bring more guns, that just means more business for the gun lobbyists that out there. And when people, so for those people that say that, what do you say?
In fairness, that's a whole different issue regarding money in politics. All right, the way we, and that's a totally almost different topic. All right, every interest group, every lobbyist has a right, because the Supreme Court ruling, money is speech. It's part of our politics now. All right, because of Citizens United, all right, they consider it a speech, and it buys a lot of votes. All right, look, a lot. This is a red state. At the end of the day, politicians want that A-plus rating from the NRA, all right? If you're a Republican, you need that A-plus rating, and that's what they give. In exchange for that A-plus rating, they give support.
Even at the expense of something as simple as not having our students end up dead in schools? It's amazing.
You know what? You make a valid point, NOLA, but the way they look at it is... they don't want to exchange freedom for safety.
Well,
I mean, that's really, it's a balancing act, you know.
The one good thing I like about having you on this program right now, because we know fully well, like the superintendent, like Hillsborough County and Pasco County publicly reject this notion right there. And I know you guys have a sheriff out there, Sheriff Grady Judge out there, who's advocating for this program. For arming teachers, he's actually publicly known to advocate it. So I'm curious to know what the mood is right there in Polk County, especially what the teachers, because I can't imagine. For instance, we have a public situation that happened, which Philando Castillo, who is a guy who worked in the school system, who was legally allowed to have a firearm, was shot dead after getting pulled over. I can't just imagine, as a black man in this country, in a school shooting where the SWAT team is actually coming into the schools, and you want to be the black man with a gun in a chaotic environment like a school shooting. I want to know what the mood is right there, especially for the black teachers out there at the school.
Well, I tell you this, it's negative. It pains me to say this, and just admitting the pink elephant in the room, all right? What I fear is a confrontation between a teacher and student, and a victim is going to be either one of black or brown skin, all right? It is what it is, and that's just going to put, you know, fuel to the fire, all right? Some teachers have threatened to quit if such law is placed in Polk County. They don't want that. They really don't want that culture. They want to stay away from that culture. We're educators. That's what we're trained to do. Well, I mean, that's basically why I got into this business, is to educate, to work with young people, to be a positive beacon for these guys, not to be carrying a gun. Like, I understand the intent, but I think they're oversimplifying the problem. The problem is much deeper than that. Send us more school psychologists. How about sending us more teachers?
How about increasing the teachers' pay? So we have more qualified teachers. How about just strictly find a way of not allowing guns to be in schools? I mean, I know we have like different systems. We have airports, we have court systems, we have separate federal buildings in this country where guns are not allowed in there just because we want to keep guns away. But somehow, some way, we can't find a way to keep guns out of schools. But I do appreciate you. I want to say that a big thank you to your students out there for actually giving us a few minutes for you to contribute to the show. A big thank you to Nick, and you're always welcome to actually contribute to the show. Thanks a lot, Nick. I appreciate
you. Thank you,
Nola. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Nick Citra as a contributor to the show right there. I just wanted to get a temperature of an actual teacher in Polk County, so to get the mood. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you want to contribute to the program right now, feel free to call in. Phone number is 813-239-9663. A quick mention, the WMNF vehicle donation program is not only for your everyday old car. We can also accept classic cars like 1960s Mustangs, Chevys, and Model Ts. We take boats and motorcycles, too. Just call 1-888-966-3885, and we'll take care of everything. That's 1-888-966-3885. So let's go to the phone lines right now because I see the phones are buzzing right now. Let's go to Danny. Danny from Tampa. Good afternoon, Danny. Welcome to the show.
Yes, you know, thank you. I couldn't agree with Nick more. His lips to Trump's ears, although it wouldn't matter to Trump. You notice how Trump has, ever since that meeting last week, what has happened with what he has said that he was going to do about the guns? Nothing. What about the bump stock idea that he was going to do with that personally? Nothing. Nothing at all. Crickets. As usual, just lying again. And, you know, and I'll tell you what, Nola, to sit there and say yesterday that people want to work over here. They just want to, when they're abandoning him, they're leaving him alone, banning him. The rats are leaving the ship because they know what's coming. They know that this guy's a disaster with a terrorist idea. They know that it's a disaster with Mueller and the midterms coming up, hopefully. They can sense it. And even Jared and Ivanka, they may be out of there soon. He's going to find himself with nobody. He's going to have to get a dog, although I wouldn't want to be a dog owned by him. Mm-hmm. This is the type of so-called leader that we have. Let me tell you something, Nola. Him and his... And his family, his daughter, and his whole family, they're nothing but grifters. You ever see the movie The Grifters?
No, I haven't.
See that movie?
No, I haven't. Sorry.
Oh, you should. John Cusack, Angelica Houston, back a few years ago, about a family of scammers. That's exactly what they are. These are invaders from Queens. They're grifters, and they have got to be stopped. And he's on his way down, Nola, on his way down. As everything from the guns to the energy that he brings in this whole country, where it's just tension and guns and fear and just it's what a difference from the Obama administration. Let me leave you with this, Nola. Let me leave you with this.
Right, real quick.
It'll be a happy day in my life when I see this man. I don't want nothing to happen to him at all. I don't want anything physical bad to happen. I want to beat him in the arena of ideas. I want to see him go down humiliated, and I want this. It'll be the. You know, I've often thought that the happiest day of my life was May 5th, 1973, when I saw Led Zeppelin, and it was. But this would rival that and maybe surpass it for me if it could just go down, and it'll be great for the world and great for our country.
I appreciate you, Danny. Thank you very much, Danny. That was Danny, passionate about his rejection of the president of the United States. But I think we have more time and issues right now, because what we're talking about right now is the state of Florida. We have a governor right now that's like, we'll see whether he's in favor of actually arming teachers or not, which is, I can't believe we're having this talk right now. Let's go to Lori. Lori from St. Pete. Good afternoon, Lori. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
How are you?
This is all just insanity. I what kind of world do we want? That's my question. What kind of world do we want? And I hope that any Republican voting person listening will consider, what kind of world do you want? Republicans are not pro-life because they don't care about the next school shooting, whether it be a school shooting where they go in like Sandy Hook and gun down, how old were they, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds? They are not pro-life. That is a way they get people to vote for them. They don't care about life. They don't care about fetuses. They don't care. They're heartless. And so, again, what kind of world do we want? we are currently in a world where we're going to wait for the next shooting, whether it be a school shooting. And their solution is to put one teacher maybe in a school. How many children are going to die before that teacher, if that teacher survives the initial assault of the spray of a semi-automatic or an automatic weapon?
I wonder, like, Lori, I don't know if you mind asking me this. Are you a mother, Lori?
No, unfortunately, no. I did not.
Okay,
I was not born.
But I wonder what it is. I mean, because as a parent myself, what that means when we succumb to the conclusion that, you know what, all we can do is arm teachers. Is that, are we saying, like, you know what, we can't do anything for our kids in terms of law enforcement to protect them, and we're just going to give the guns to the teachers, and that's all we could do? I mean, I wonder what message that sends. I mean, cause for me, that means that, you know what, the government is saying, you know what, there's nothing we can do for you. You know, we're just going to put more guns out there and you guys fend for yourselves until, you know, we come and rescue you.
They refuse to take these weapons of mass destruction away. They won't even do that. So in my opinion, what they're saying to all of us and to parents, and I hope these parents reconsider when they vote, who have been voting Republican. And I think what they're saying is, when you look at greater than, less than, they are saying that your child's life and your child's right to life is less than the right for individuals to own automatic and semi-automatic weapons, which is a gross misrepresentation of the Constitution. It's despicable and disgusting. And I don't know what more it's going to take for Republican voters to wake up, unless they are the pure evil that keeps getting voted in. But I know there are some reasonable people who maybe can finally figure out that the Republicans that are in office now, the majority of Republicans in office now, do not have the values that Republicans allegedly used to have.
Interesting.
But again, I just finish with, what kind of world do we want? I hear these discussions and it's absolute insanity.
Right, absolutely.
It has to be.
And I remember in the 80s, it was Ronald Reagan, who's actually a touted Republican, that actually talked about how he rejected the fact that individuals should actually have, like, semi-automatic weapons, I think automatic weapons. But
right, exactly.
this is a far cry from where we are right now in 2018. I mean, so many things happening right now that I don't even make the headlines. Well, thank you very much, Lori. That's Lori from St.
Yeah, real quickly, I do want to say I appreciate your comment about a black teacher or a teacher of color. It's just insanity. And how long will it take, like I say, for a teacher to even get up there and go against it? And again, what about the next time when a pair couples up, like in Columbine, and comes in with a couple of semi-automatic weapons?
Right.
How do we combat that? It's insane. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Lori. That's Lori from St. Pete. Thank you very much. Let's go back. If you just join us right now, we're talking about the current legislation that's making its round to the Florida Congress right now. And included in that legislation is arming teachers. So what are your thoughts about that? 813-239-9663. Or you send a text to 813-433-0885. You send me an email during this broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. Let me read some emails right now. I got an email from Brooke, I believe. Brooke goes, why isn't anyone talking about non-lethal bullets? Oh, great question. Why isn't anyone talking about non-lethal bullets? Great question. Let's go to Adam. Adam goes, if I were a black teacher, there's no way I would want to carry a gun. We already have a problem in this country with shooting unarmed black people. Can you imagine what would happen if the cops come into a school and a black teacher has a gun? I mean, so obvious, because I can't imagine me being a teacher and not even having a gun. Can you imagine if, in a chaotic situation where you know fully well the officers don't even know who has a gun, who doesn't have a gun, they don't have an accurate description. I don't know, it's chaos everywhere. And somebody fears for their life, because I've heard that phrase before. I can't imagine that this is something we're actually talking about. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. Let's go to Tyler from Lakeland. Hi, Tyler. Good afternoon, Tyler. Welcome to the show. Tyler's from Lakeland. Hello, Tyler?
Hello?
Hello? Yeah, you're on the air. What's up, Tyler?
Oh, this is Alan.
Alan? Oh, sorry.
Yes, Alan is in Lakeland, and good afternoon, my
good afternoon,
radio
Alan.
Station.
Hey, welcome to the show. What's up?
I wanted to make a comment about, the arming the teachers.
Yes.
That's calling costs a lot of money. That's going to cost, you know, like you're mentioning. Why not, we're already paying for National Guard. Let's put one of those guys in each school and don't worry about, let the teachers teach. And I'll hang up and listen to some comments.
Interesting point. Absolutely. That's Alan. I think the idea of just having military personnel in schools, I mean, sends the wrong message anyway. Because I mean, we've all known about conspiracy theories talking about martial law and everything else. I mean, it just seems to me like, I mean, having more guns, there's got to be a better way to actually ensure that we don't have guns penetrating our schools, our kids' schools. This got to be priority 101. And this current idea is going back and forth. It's just ridiculous to me. And this is 2018. We're supposed to be moving towards a progressive society. But for some reason, we're going back to the Stone Age. We might as well go back to the Wild Wild West where everybody has a gun. I mean, this is ridiculous. Let's go back to the phone lines, right? Let's go to Larry from Palm Harbor. Larry, good afternoon, Larry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
My thing is, for one, what are we teaching the kids where we're telling them that we've got a teacher with a gun, so that teacher's going to have the authority. They're going to be the boss because they do have a gun. They're going to think that way. There's not a person out there who carries a gun that doesn't start to think that they're a little bit tougher than everybody else, and they've got the gun. So now we're telling the kids that if you want to be tough, you need a gun. There's too many kids carrying guns nowadays, let alone telling them that this is how it should be. If you want to have the authority, you need to carry a gun. There's one other little thing that we're going to have a problem with. Now, if a teacher feels threatened, maybe you're going to hurt me, that I might die, well, then I've got the right to stand my ground in Florida too, don't I? I can start shooting kids.
Yep. Absolutely.
We don't even bring that part up. We've already had a problem with.
Oh, no. Trust me. The segment of society is looking at this whole thing coming down and going, wait, what? Wait, what? You're going to put me in a situation where the teacher is going to fear for their lives? And we know fully well what segment of society is actually so afraid of that premise right there. So, yeah, that's a legitimate thought process right there going through making through the rounds right now. But I just can't believe this is actually happening. I mean, like 2 weeks ago when I started talking about this, I just thought, okay, this is something that's gaining momentum, but this is actually making it to the Florida legislature. I mean, this is something they actually voted on.
They're not listening to the constituents because, I mean, they're assuming that the teachers are all Democrats, practically, because you got, 90-some percent of them don't want to carry guns. But the lawmakers are going, we're carrying guns. You're going to be carrying guns.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much, Larry from Palm Harbor. Larry, thank you, Larry. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. Phones are coming out. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you want to join the conversation, phone number is 813-239-9663. Or you can send a text to 813-433-0885 or send me an email done to broadcast to dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to the phone lines. I got Tom from St. Pete. Tom, good afternoon, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, first-time caller, Tom. What took you so long? What took you so long, Tom?
I've been listening to you for 2 years. I've talked to the guys at executive session before, but never called into this show. So yeah. I got some few points I just want to throw out there. So,
Go ahead, Tom.
I know some of us out there still like to read. So this is kind of more directed towards the people who can, steer away from the mass.
While it's still legal, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so I think one thing for sure is everyone should check out a book called Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. Okay, this is a history of our world in its current times, tragedy and hope. This is the way that the orchestrators, the people who are behind the scenes that construct society, take a culture like ours, which was the most progressive, most open-minded, most successful republic in date that we know in modern times, and makes it now on the verge of civil war. Tragedy and hope, okay? So let's break things down here, okay? There's obviously a major issue going on. Mass murder is on the rise. I mean, in general, gun crime is out of control, right? Well, you have two sides to it. You have the tragedy of the victim, and then you have the hope of the reaction to what's going on. So let's say, like, people talk about, like, arming the teachers, okay? Well, schools have become a target. Like it or not, no matter what we want, the school has become a target. So the time has come to harden the target. Now, banks have security guards. Department stores have security guards. There's a reason why innocent murders don't happen on those premises. It's because the target is clear. So now if you talk about why does a police officer accidentally kill a black man, well, there's a lot of reasons for that. one of them being the cops are overworked, underpaid, undertrained, and highly stressed out people. They're in situations every day where they can't handle it. They're coming up to things, they're dealing with things, and they're having mental lapses.
Real quick, if that's the reason why is that not happening across the board? Why is it just happening more than often to just black men?
Okay, and I would say that this is a whole other subject I didn't want to get into.
It's okay,
a
great I'll let you go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, no, but that's a great question, and there's many factors to that. One of them is definitely institutionalized racism in the sense of, like, you know, stop and frisk in New York and things where, you know, all day long you're told to patrol a certain type of area of town. What's that area?
I'm glad you made that point just to make sure so people listening don't actually agree. Go ahead, Tom. I want to let you finish.
The major reason why you have all these crazy things police do, they're not trained correctly. They're understaffed. They're overworked, and they're spazzing out. So that's why when you have like a bank, okay, so there's less innocent murders in a bank, whatever. So I'm saying that there is a target, which is the school, and it needs to be hardened. We definitely have to figure out a way to do that. If that's bulletproof doors, if that's arming certain individuals that want to take the responsibility to defend the school. I like the idea of less lethal weapons as well, rubber bullets, maybe stun grenades, things like that can't actually take a life. But here's the point. So that's one situation, right? Then you have the other side where they want to take the guns. Well, if we're going to have a reasonable question about how can we actually make gun legislation work in this world, we can't have such extreme polarization. So organizations like the NRA, right? The NRA, so terrible. Well, guess what? How many mass murderers were members of the NRA? Zero. Okay, listen, the NRA should actually be supported because one of the biggest issues in this country, people get guns and have no training, no responsibility, no understanding of a community. They're completely disenfranchised. Media has overloaded our brains with all these ideas that we can't think, and it's always telling us, this person's Hitler. This person's not born in the country. Two extremes making everyone crazy. The kids are completely gone when it comes to the fact that 17% of them have been on a serotonin reuptaker since they hit puberty, and they're all in depression.
Right.
So there's all these issues that are happening. Like I said, Tragedy and Hope by Carol Quigley. This is a design. When you hear that guy who loves Led Zeppelin, which obviously is one of the best ever, and he's freaking out about Donald Trump. This has been brewing for a long time in America. Like, when Obama was president, you had race relations deteriorating quickly because, once again, everyone was steered in the direction of polarization. So when it comes to the topic...
Did it help the fact that the number one champion when it comes to race bait against the president of the United States is currently the president of the United States?
That's an over-exaggeration. Donald Trump was not the number one proponent of the birther movement. And then if you really...
Was he not the loudest?
Well, that's, once again, you see the media is complicit.
I agree with you with that when it comes to mainstream media. If you've listened to the show several times, I mean, you've heard me talk about how the mainstream media is actually complicit when it comes to what we're dealing with right now. But when you talk about a situation where you illustrated that when Barack Obama was president, race relations dipped. I mean, like, some people might disagree with you and say that, you know what, it was exposed and it was always been there.
Yeah.
But the fact that we have the loudest proponent when it went to anti-Barack Obama, talking about his birther movement and all that stuff, becomes the president right after him. What does that mean?
Well, what it means is, once again, how interesting is this long-term three-dimensional chess, right? Tragedy and hope. What do they bring in? The dumb redneck white guy from Texas. What do they bring in? The educated any inner city educated black man. What do they bring in next? The billionaire elitist. These are calculations by the Rand Corporation, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, people who sit on boards of the largest financial institutions in the world that they play all sides. Okay? So you have people, you say the largest proponent is now president. Donald Trump rode a wave that was, you made a really good point. It was always there. It was just highlighted because that's what they're preying on. They take things from us to divide us. People need to have educated responses. And my last thing I have to say, because I really appreciate you having this conversation with me, is just the NRA is a good thing. We need people to be trained, to be educated.
I disagree with that when you say the NRA is a good thing. Because you know what? Because there have been so many instances, Tom. There have been so many instances in which the... people were legal, who illegally had guns have been gunned down in this country, and the NRA never came to their defense. I just give an example when it comes to Philando Castile. And I never heard the NRA coming out and say, you know what, that man had the right to have a gun, and even though that officer was actually let go, and there was no outrage when it came to it. So there's a certain segment of the society in which the NRA actually defend to have guns, which brings to my bigger picture, in which globally, looking at it from a big picture, think about it. Weapons of mass destruction. And I think Laurie, previous caller, actually illustrated the fact that when you look at an AR-15, semi-automatic or whatever, if we all know fully, we can agree that this is a weapon of mass destruction, which it could mow down about 60 to 100 people in under 60 seconds. So when we look at it on a global level. Do we want all countries to have nuclear weapons? And why is that? Because we deem the fact that some people cannot have nuclear weapons because it would be a danger to society. But in this country, it just seems like a certain segment of society is allowed to have weapons because we believe a certain segment should have weapons against a certain segment of society. And you can't ignore that fact. So
tragedy and hope. No, I agree with it's tragedy and hope, and that's what I'm trying to say to you. It's so strategic. And but one thing, NRA, zero mass murders in history were members of the NRA. Now, does the NRA?
I don't think I agree with that.
No, it is. Look it up. It's fact. Listen, is their NRA ran correctly? No, nothing is. But they're also in a defense strategy. And if it's not the NRA, we need to start one nationally, an organization that in which we train, arm, and
teach. So real quick. So what are your thoughts about arming teachers? So you think arming teachers is a good thing?
Real quick, Tom.
I got to get some more phone calls.
Okay, really quickly. Here's what I think. I think that it should definitely be looked at. I don't think it's obviously the smartest move. I don't even like the fact we have fences around schools. It's military. It's what's it called? The military industrial congressional complex.
Right.
It's all designed. Tragedy and Hope, Carol Quigley. Please, guys, read it. It'll explain so much.
Thanks a lot, Tom. I appreciate you. Yes. Make sure you listen to my show every week, so that way you're not my first-time caller, all right? I appreciate you. Thanks a lot. That's Tom from St. Pete. Even though I disagree with some things he said, but I appreciate the conversation. Let's go to Mike from Bradenton. Good afternoon, Mike. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, Nola. Great show as always. I couldn't disagree more than with that gentleman. I'm sorry, but I'm going to take his tinfoil hat off and deal with some reality-based observations, okay? I took some education classes at University of Florida back in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And the first question, my first day in class, was the professor said, which college within the University of Florida has the lowest entrance requirements? And we all sat there stumped for a second until someone raised their hand and said, the College of Education? And he said, exactly. So, you know, I had some great teachers in high school, okay? I had some people that were just amazing. And they all told our classes that they were leaving teaching because they were being underpaid and abused. And I want you to think about the dumbest people you encountered in the public education system, you know, like the people that were just there to draw a paycheck, going through the motions, reading out of the textbook in a monotone voice. You do not want a gun on those people. And you don't, you know, I said this the other day on Rob's show. When you're drunk and you're trying to get sober, the solution is not more beer. This country is awash in guns. It has a gun violence epidemic, and more guns is not the problem. And I suggest everyone actually go look at an article that was in the Atlantic last week or earlier, a guy named James Fallows. And he used to be in the military, and he said, you know, actually, if you want to regulate weapons, you should do it the way the military does, because in the military, guns are heavily regulated. They are under lock and key, and sometimes guards, and they're not just floating around nilly-willy left and right, maybe in a war zone, but if you're at an American base.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And remember Fort Hood.
Except for the military police. Now everybody's just waving guns around on the military base.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, at Fort Hood, there were good guys with guns everywhere. That didn't stop it. At the Naval Yard in D.C. a few years ago, there was an outbreak of gun violence, and there's good guys with guns everywhere. This is a way for people like Donald Trump and the governor of this state to kick the can down the road. And for the president, it's a way to distract a little bit from the Russia investigation.
Absolutely.
You know, everyone's talking about this now. And it's a terrible idea for a million and one reasons. Rational people don't want more guns in their schools. And I'll bet you the schools that I'll bet you the school that Barron Trump goes to, or the governor's children, or any other uber wealthy, powerful person, their teachers aren't armed. The bank I go to doesn't have an armed guard. And if you look at the statistics, the reason a lot of the banks don't have armed guards is because it's more likely that there's going to be violence. If someone comes in to rob the bank, they let them do it and they let them run out the door. They don't try to have a Wild West shootout every place that...
I appreciate you. You made some good points. Thanks a lot, man. That's Mike from All Bradenton. Right. Thank you very much, Mike. Let's go real quick to David from Clearwater. David, good afternoon, David. Welcome to the show. Real quick, David.
Hey, real quick.
Yes.
I was in the guard for 6 years.
Yes.
If somebody told me that instead of being a weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer, unless there was a war, I wouldn't be going in the schools during the week. Those people are not military. They're business people. Now, the guard has been used in Afghanistan and in Iraq much more because there's no draft. But... you know, any military people in the schools in their uniforms with their weapons. You talk about a banana republic, you got one. It's just, that's not the answer. Mm. I know what the answer is, but it's too simple. And there's no way for me to know how to do it, and that is to get the family back together and have fathers talk to sons about things like hurting other people. But that's just me. Mm. So...
thanks a lot, man.
Good show.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, man, to David from Clearwater. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. You go to Chris from Tampa. Good afternoon, Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, so I've heard a lot of different opinions, and it made me want to call and just, I think there's a simple answer to all of this. And it's not arming the teachers, because as you said, you know, we're not going to have a Wild West shootout with kids and teachers. It's just going to have more people hurt. But...
I just can't believe we're talking about this. I can't believe this is a real thing. This is actually going to happen.
Exactly.
Wow.
And the fact is, there are already guns at school. I just graduated high school a couple months ago.
Interesting.
And there are cops with guns at the school, but there's no metal detectors at the front doors. There's several entrances to come in through. The simple answer is metal detectors and one entrance. Have one entry.
You know what, Chris? I am so glad you called in, because this is your fresh out of high school. Because one of the things that I thought about, I thought there would be the first thing everybody will go to is like the construction of the schools. If we could actually change the way people actually, the schools are built.
Yeah, it's...
go ahead, Chris. You're breaking up a little bit.
It's tough, man, because it makes me scared even to go to school. And now I'm in college and I feel the same way. I don't even want to go to school sometimes, because it's tough. And these guys, they're smart. You know, these guys doing it, they're kids.
One other thing, Chris, because I was talking to my son about this, and he made a point to me one time. He said, you know what? The one thing about, like, some of the things that he talked to about his friends is the fear of a copycat student that thinks about beating the score. I don't know, as a fresh out of high school student, does that resonate with you? Because when he said that, I'm like, what do you mean beating the score? He said, you know what, the high school, the Cruz guy in the Parkland shooting killed 17 people. You never know, it might be a sick student is looking at it trying to beat the score. Does that resonate with you?
No, it's true. I just read about some 14-year-old who looked at the Sandy Hook killer, and he said that he wanted to beat his score. He had killed about 40 kids. He said he wanted to reach 50. And these kids are smart. You know, they're not dumb. They're plotting these things months and months ahead of when they attack. And if there was one entrance with metal detectors, there's no way that those kids are even going to risk getting caught up at the front door. The worst case scenario is that they're coming out of their cars shooting. Coming out of the car shooting, you close the doors. Everyone's inside the classroom. Then there's a shootout with the cops. The cops are trained professionals. We can't give teachers who are trained in teaching, reading books, scholars, guns. It doesn't make any sense, man.
Hey, look at this. A great idea coming from someone that just fresh out of high school. Maybe we should reduce the age, because it seems like the movement started with high school students. Maybe we need high school students to start voting, because it seems like we don't know what we're doing as adults. Thanks a lot, Chris. Appreciate you.
No problem.
Chris, that's Chris from Tampa, fresh out of high school. He has some take about that. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. I have Ed. Ed, good afternoon, Ed, from Riverview, I believe.
it's obviously the answer is multifaceted. I mean, it's just one thing is just not going to do it all.
Absolutely, yeah.
But, you know, so I'll throw out three things. One, I disagree with teachers being armed for all the obvious reasons.
Well, that don't seem very obvious, Ed. Well, we have a legislature that's actually voting on that right now. It just doesn't seem so obvious anymore.
But we know why they're doing that, you know. The other thing is weapons of mass destruction that should be used in military use only, and like one of your previous callers says, lock them up. The other thing that's most importantly that I wanted to call about was, if I'm not mistaken, because I tutored a little bit at USF, on a Saturday morning, as we went into a classroom, that door had to be unlocked from the control room. We had to call the control room a few times that they forgot on the schedule that we was going to be there. We were scheduled into the classroom, and the door was locked. We called them, and they unlocked the door. Upon leaving, at the end of our schedule, 3 hours, once the last person left, that door was locked. No one could get in. It's a heavy, steel door. If they have that system where you have a control room and camera systems to back it up, you have to have cameras, because if you lock all the doors in all the buildings and there's a shooter, but there's students in the hallways, we got a problem. So the control room needs cameras and backup cameras to see if they may have to unlock certain doors to let students into the classroom where they can protect themselves. And then subsequently, those doors would be locked. So you need a control room. Unfortunately, then, yes, your schools are going to look like prisons because, yes, you're going to have a control room, and they could unlock and lock doors. But in so doing, you're not going to arm the teachers, and you're not going to open that to a serious problem, because, believe me, if I was making $30,000 or $40,000 and I was a teacher and I put a weapon on somebody that was good, bad, or indifferent, whatever, at the end of the day, you got legal liability, and guess what? You're going to pay a lawyer $60,000-$70,000, so how many years is it going to cost you to do that liability? Is the government going to back up the teachers and give them legal protection, because that situation will happen, and there will be consequences after. That's all I have to say.
Right,
and thank you. I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate you. Right. Thank you. That's Ed from Riverview. Thank you. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Mark from Ocala. Mark, good afternoon, Mark. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you very much. I love listening to your show.
I'm working
out of town, but former policemen have had children in school and have grandchildren in school.
If you don't mind me asking, how long were you in the police force?
A couple years.
Down in Miami. Okay.
Down in Miami, yeah.
Okay.
Back in the 80s. Yeah.
Okay.
Made a lot of felony arrests, a lot of convictions, and I didn't have to hurt anybody, didn't want to, and didn't have any agenda in my heart. I just wanted to help people.
I'm glad you highlighted that, because I feel like that is always missing a lot of times, especially when we talk about law enforcement and stuff like that. So I'm glad you went to the police force. I mean, you didn't intend to hurt anybody. I mean, you wanted to actually protect the community. So go ahead, Mark.
Well, and unfortunately, one of the earlier callers talked about policemen are overstressed and all this stuff. I don't think that's actually the case. I think their training has been hyper-militarized. The training films that they're showing policemen, the shoot-don't-shoot stuff, is actually a little bit unrealistic and makes policemen a little more hyper and hyper-vigilant than they probably need to be. Now, as our community does have more guns, I don't want to come off like John Wayne. I have a cold right now, so I sound like it, but we don't need National Guardsmen to school. We don't need teachers with guns. That's all ridiculous crap. We might need some bulletproof doors, but I would share with the last shooting that everybody's responding to, unfortunately, the shootings do occur at banks, for the one jackass that made that comment. There's nowhere safe, and actually we are focused on the schools because of legislation going on right now. We don't need any of that stuff. We don't need any of it. That shooter last time shot through windows before he even entered the school. We don't want a building with one entrance and metal detectors. He's not going to check his gun through and see if he's on good behavior. Allow him through. It's not going to happen. What we need is to ban AR-15s and ban AK-47s and ban AK-74s and ban SKSs. We don't need automatic or semi-automatic combat weapons in civilians' hands. Mm. They need to be locked up like in the Marine Corps. You ain't carrying no gun on base.
Exactly.
If you want your weapon while you're in the Marine Corps, you have to have authority to go to the armory, and an armorer who is armed in a bomb-proof building will issue you your weapon through a very narrow slot
right.
for proper identification. So we need less guns, we need more compassion, and no more cops. And unfortunately, I'm going to say this, that older cop down there knew, however he knew it, he knew that his pistol was not going to take out a rifle.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you very much. That's the last caller for today, Mark from Ocala, and I'm happy that he's actually called in because he's a former police officer. Thank you very much. We'll be back better than ever next week, Wednesday. Stay tuned for NPR News and Executive Sessions with John Gilmore and Craig Karp. And this is WMNF Tampa.